Hello, everyone, and welcome to the VWO podcast. In this show, we invite top marketers and experts to give you a behind-the-scenes look at the ideas and strategies that organizations are using to succeed in today's competitive landscape. Today, we are in conversation with Chris Marsh from Dash of CX. In this episode, Chris talks about how he added $3 million to client revenue with CRO and UX. Plus, he also explains why a CRO program might succeed or fail. This episode was originally recorded as a webinar and is now being presented as a video podcast. Therefore, during the episode, Chris refers to a presentation while explaining certain ideas. Also, hit the follow button so that you never miss out on any episode from VWO Podcast. So without any further delay, let's have a look at how you can boost the performance of your CRO programs.
Thanks everyone for joining. Hope you're having a good day. Let's get stuck in. So over 5 years I've worked on more than 12 different CRO programs, lots of varied experience, and usually they thrive and they tick along perfectly and everything's great. But interestingly, there's been two which kind of hit a bump or snag, and then they failed, the program's completely stopped, which is a real shame because as CROs, we love our work and we know there's a huge opportunity there, and we need to inspire our clients and help these CRO programs succeed so we can do this work and improve experiences and revenue for the business. But twice, two different reasons these programs stopped. So I'm going to share these stories with you so you can learn from my mistakes. The first story was a lovely client in the US, and they sold nail polish, very high quality indie nail polish brand. There was so much opportunity on their site. I was working with an agency that I still work with, and we'd worked with this client for about 8 months, just helping them with measurement and insights to start with. And then we got to a point where we had more than 30 A/B test ideas, and they were ready to start going, which was great. We were starting our A/B testing program with them. And so the first test right out the gate was actually a huge winner. I hate to say it, but it was a pop-up. It was a test based on the pop-up. and we edited that, improved that, and got a huge lift there. We got to the third test, and that's where things hit a problem, a snag. They had a new stakeholder join their team, which was a designer. The designer said, oh, this test, can I add my design as a new variation? Because if we were changing the homepage, they said they've got this great idea. We looked at it and we knew we could fit in another variation because of the traffic. So I made a bad decision and said, yeah, come on in, we'll try and make it work. But the devs weren't used to A/B testing at the time. They'd only done two other tests and they struggled, and it went on for 3 weeks. So there was more dev work for them to fulfill this new challenge. So after 3 weeks, it had hit the final point, and the CEO said, we love your work, but we just don't have the dev resources. Bam, that was it. That was the CRO program grinding to a halt. It was really sad. You know, it's not just about losing a client, because, you know, jobs change, things change, that's fine. But there was such opportunity on this site. There was huge opportunity. But they felt that they couldn't do it, they couldn't run these tests. So I spoke with my colleague, and he said, you know what? He says, this just highlights how important momentum is in tests, in CRO programs. Oh, man, yeah. You know, we needed to build momentum, and to do that, we should have been doing really small tests to start with. And so we reflected on this, and it taught us how crazy important momentum is in a CRO program. So if you do have to run some large tests, just be sure that you're running small tests alongside them. Don't let a stakeholder come in and edit things too much. Take their advice on board. We need to welcome stakeholders and their opinions, but we need to be careful with them. Pop them in the test plan, prioritize their ideas. Interestingly enough, a year later, I was reading this awesome book about career advice. I highly recommend it. It's called So Good They Can't Ignore You. And he said something which really resonated with me and reminded me of this experience. So the author talks about making small bets in your career. Okay, so he says, make small bets and it maximizes your chance to win. He says small bets are great because they're bite-sized. You know, they're just simple experiments, simple tests, simple things here. He says the main thing is you're learning as you go. He says one day, one of these small bets, it will pay off huge. I thought, man, this reminds me of that CMO program. We should have been making small bets. I thought, why didn't I hear this 2 years ago? But there you go. To summarize, it's so important to build and keep momentum. Now, the second CRO program which faltered, it hit an end, was a US store selling discount daily deals, lots of items for the day on a deal. And they were a great client. We'd work with them for like 8 months or so, testing for about 6 to 8 months. We were delivering a positive return on investment. So we had been getting wins, we've been getting good learnings, things were going well. However, this story is to do with showing value and communicating value, and that's where we could have done better and where there was a problem. So the CEO who we were talking with, he loved our work, but he was communicating with the owners of the site, and they didn't get it. They didn't get CRO. They were old-fashioned and they loved traffic and getting more traffic. The site had tons of traffic. It was like definitely time to improve customer experiences and conversion rates. So the owners didn't see the value and they closed the program, the CRO program. And the CEO told us, he said, the owners are old-fashioned. They don't see the value. What can you do? And we reflected on this and we thought, well, we could have done something. We should have been showing value better somehow, you know. And now I think of it as beating the value drum. So you want to beat the value drum, just show value regularly as you can. Perhaps try and keep it concise and bite-sized, easy to digest. Perhaps think of how your end client likes to receive it. Maybe it's a Loom video recording. Maybe it's a quick message in Slack. Here's an example of how I PR a CRO program in Slack. Provide a summary, keep it fact-based, and add highlights. And I even log if I find a bug on the live site, then I note it down. And then 3 months later, I'll look at those amounts of bugs and I'll add it to this and say, whilst we were doing our work, you know, we found two or five bugs on the live site. So even there, we were delivering value. And you can frame this as well. Simple little additional way to do it is start with value delivered, boom, boom, boom. So we're framing it, we're saying, this is your value. So it's crystal clear. And then they can share this with anyone that they want. Should make it easy to showcase what we're doing, why it's so useful. Now, here's a cool tip which I learned from Romuald Santiago from his book Sprinting to Show Value. So this is a great stage if you want to grow your CRO program. It's a great chance to do it. So you can state the hours that were required to achieve these results. So we can say, hey, this uses 20 hours dev time per month. And we would love to unlock more dev time because that might be the blocker and where we know that we can grow the program if we unlock that dev resource. So this is where we can do it. We can tie these resources back to the value and success and say, you know, if we add X amount of hours of dev resource, we can achieve this growth to our program and to our success. So that was two CRO program killers, losing momentum and not showing value regularly. Now onto the better stories, the better side of things, the thriving CRO programs. But you know, it's good to learn from failures, of course, as a CRO. But here I've worked with a handful of clients over the years, And one in particular, we delivered over 3 million uplift last year. And these six takeaways are from that program and other programs that have succeeded really well. So test one concept change and you never lose. And ultimately, it's so good to have the opinion, the mindset to test to learn. So instead of testing to win, looking for wins and thinking of which ideas will win, no, just think, make sure that we can learn. And it's a weird thing, because it may not be that intuitive, but you will end up getting better win rates, which I'll explain later on. My framework helps you do this as well. So this is key, and hopefully I can help you do this today. I really like this one. So when a test finishes, don't just cross it off and say that's done. It's really important to brainstorm at this point. You know, hopefully you've got a learning. You know, hopefully you know if you've changed behavior for better or not. And you need to, it's so useful to think, okay, what other test ideas relate to this learning? So, you know, if you're test one, you can start thinking, how do we double down? How do we do more of this? We do this elsewhere, or could we make it bolder or do it better? And if the test loses, think of the solution, you know, was it the right solution? And ultimately, your CRO roadmap should be very flexible. It doesn't need to be long and set in stone. That's just quite fun like that. We just have to hold our hands up and say, hey, we can only see like 1 month in advance, one or two, and it might change. This is a classic. You probably heard this. We have to do the CRO research. It's simple theory, really. If you think about it, no great company was built on CRO hacks. Okay, that they're built on having a close relationship with the customers, delivering great customer experiences, and a desire to experiment. So there's lots of research out there for how, lots of articles for how to do this. Don't get put off, because there's different, lots of different ways to do it. Just start, just do 4 hours a month, 7 hours a month, and you'll get great test ideas from this, which are actual backed by actual data, you know, customer problems. You'll be able to make their life better, and you'll be able to create much better test ideas using this data. So ignore the, hey, here's 10 test ideas, try these. Now, you've got to actually put in the work. I hate to say it, but it's worth it. And log learnings. This is obviously important if we're going to test and learn, otherwise we'll forget the learnings. So you can log these in VWO. If you don't use VWO, yeah, you can use Airtable. Tim, my colleague from Exceptional Web, he was the first CRO I ever met about 3 years ago who was using Airtable, and he introduced me to it and it blew my mind. And it's really powerful. It's a great way to log your research insights, your experiments, and your test learnings. So I've got a link here where you can help yourself and use our template. A little bonus here. If you're running a lot of tests, say 4 a month or more, you can tag the purpose of the test with the test. And then after half a year or a year, you can look at the data and look to see which kind of purposes actually are most effective. You know, is it price and value or usability? And then you can kind of like, it can guide you for your next tests, or you could spot areas where you haven't been testing certain purposes where you haven't. This, I was inspired by Growth Rock Agency, who do this really well. It's their core method. So there's an article link down here if you want to go and check out more about that. And this, you could say, is a boring one, but honestly, it's so important to QA your tests. You have to QA them well. You know, give it 30 to 60 minutes, maybe 2 hours if it's a big test or many pages. You really, really need to find bugs. You will find bugs. Okay, devs can't catch them all. I've been called a QA madman, which I took as a compliment, and luckily it was a positive comment from my colleague, because I just know it's so important. So of course, is not a fun task. It can be a bit dull, but put some of your favorite music on, get your head down, go through, make a little list of things that you want to check each time and make it easier for yourself. And yeah, get through it. It's well worth it. Otherwise, there's way more problems down the line. Worth using real devices if you can. Use an old iPhone, old Android, you could use a Mac and a Windows machine. This will cost about £1,000. If you can't do that, you can use Browser Stack. Also, if you build a redirect test, there's an interesting situation here which can easily cause a huge problem, because we're creating a new page on our site. And Google might find this page and it might list it, it might index it. And my CRO buddy told me, he said it's so hard to get that out of Google. You know, once Google indexes it, it's there. So that's a bad news, because all sort of links and everything else which are going to your original page, but then Google might pick up your new test page. So there's a simple way to resolve this. Check out the link here. It involves adding a rel canonical tag into the new page. I see devs miss this all the time, unfortunately, but it's a quick check and you can catch it before it goes out live. Lastly, this is my favorite, the sixth. It's been said that this single law is the most important law in data analysis. Really useful. It saved my butt probably 10 times. It's Twyman's law, and he says that any figure that looks interesting or different is usually wrong. Wow, bold claim, right? But it has a lot to it. I've researched this, and there's different angles. Basically, any data that's surprising is my way to think about it. Any data that's surprising, check it. You know, that's when we need to be skeptical. That's when we need to think, ah, data might not be accurate. Maybe there's a tracking issue. So we had this happen. A variation was winning by over 130% over after 5 days, and some of my colleagues were saying, wow, this is great. But I thought, oh no, that's too much. Shouldn't be that high. You know, it would usually be plus 5% or plus 10%. So I said, hey, we need someone to check the tracking. And sure enough, the tracking wasn't working correctly. The data was inaccurate and we had to start the test again. But this shows up all the time. Even in your own work, you might be copying and pasting data and then you see, hey, this data looks really weird. I need to check it, and oh man, I actually made a mistake there. So this is a really good sort of sense check to remember this law. And moving on to the final stage of the webinar, I'm very excited to show this framework and how I use it. This can help make your CRO easier and long term. I'm going to show an example test of how I use this. So what's important here is to remember that we need to use CRO research data. So, you know, these are surveys and polls, user testing, which is really good to find customer problems easily, and all the rest of it. Just do what you can and you'll get great ideas and issues that you'll spot through this data. And of course, we need to test and learn. I'll explain, you'll see exactly why this is so useful. And why do we do this? Essentially, this is, you wouldn't expect this, but any idea is only going to have a 10% chance to boost your KPI. And research has shown this. And that's tiny, just a 10% chance. But if we're strategic and we use these pieces of data, then our win rates grow. They grow at least 20%. You might get 30% of tests winning. So test to learn. Knowledge helps you so much, helps you move in the right direction. You get to iterate way more easily. It's almost impossible to iterate if we don't do it like this. I highly recommend checking out my framework. And if you're interested, Shiva's got a great video here where he explains a bit more about how he uses test to learn with his CRO. So let's dive in and see the framework. This guides you to test and learn. So I've called this the PQ framework for CRO. It's intuitive, and I'll tell you why it's great. So I've the problem and question section, I feel, are super important, and that's why I've named it the PQ framework. Now, this is a method where you add these four items to your test idea. So wherever you're logging your test ideas, go in and start adding this to your test ideas, and it will make sure that you end up releasing tests, which actually help you learn a lot and iterate and grow your win rates. So it involves using finding a problem, which is backed by data, customer data, and it involves having a question. Now, I love this because it's intuitive. It's like, what do you want to find out? You know, will this do this? It's just simple. And then we have a solution and talk to your team with this. Great time to loop them in, get them involved in the program. And then obviously you need to measure it, so you state how you measure it. Now with this, it's actually optional whether you want to use a hypothesis and add that here or not, because what I've noticed is from the industry, I've heard people say, hey, people aren't using hypotheses. You know, someone analyzed 250 teams and he said they weren't using data in their hypotheses. They're basically not using them correctly, the hypotheses. So I realized hypotheses are hard to use. Some people skip them. So I've been using this, and I do add a hypothesis as well, but you don't actually have to, because this actually breaks it down and makes sure you're going in the right direction anyway. The hypothesis is useful if you want to state why you think the change will happen. But let's dig into this a bit more and see how it actually works. So we'll take a look at a real test. So I have a client that sells perfume, and we've run surveys and found out that the most important factor for shoppers is a low price. Now we know that insight. We can review the site thinking about that. And on the product page, we didn't show the saving amount clearly. So we simply showed current price, old price crossed out. So, you know, a simple sort of non-strategic CRO would say, oh, this is a simple chance to get an uplift. Let's just add minus 15% on here and test that. Why not? We've actually got the data to say it's useful to try testing this as well. But let's move on. So the question here is, if we show the saving in pounds or percent, will it boost shopping metrics? And also, which is best? And then we have the solution ideas, which are fairly basic, fairly simple, simple test to run. And simply how to measure. I recommend using an online calculator to check that your KPI will actually reach significance over the amount of time that you want to run the test for, which is usually approximately 2 to 4 weeks. So with this, we got surprising results. We didn't hit a winner with this, which is crazy, but it goes to show you never know until you test. And because we tested carefully and each variation was aimed to answer one question, we were able to learn. So here we learn, hey, showing the pound savings produced a flat result, slightly negative. Weirdly, showing a minus percent created a huge loss. So that's unexpected. What's happened there? Could be a few different reasons for that. Could be confusing. Perhaps the saving isn't high enough. But this is the point. At this stage, we get to brainstorm and think, was the solution wrong? You know, could we do this a different way? So the next iteration, we actually had about three variations for this. And for one of the variations, we threw in a wild card. We said, this is a new question with this variation. If we simply show the item is on sale, perhaps that can send the message that this is a low price, this is a great value. You know, will this lift key shopping metrics? It did. Here we hit our winner. This goes to show that you never quite know what's going to happen. And if you iterate, you start going on the journey towards what works. That's the PQ framework, and it ensures you will test to learn and avoid test to win. It's all about making small bets when you can and learning, trying to iterate when you can. And only if you have to, you might move on. So you might iterate, say, two or three times on a test. Some tests you can't iterate because it's clear maybe there's no more solutions. This is my recommendation. This helps create a great CRO program, which is long lasting. Where does this work? Well, you gain strategic insights, like how useful a certain change was, how much it resonated with the users. And then you get to brainstorm new ideas based on that new learning, which is really useful. And now to wrap up, in summary, six practical tips for you to take away to improve your CRO program. We have to do the heavy lifting, of course. Do CRO research, make it doable, don't get overwhelmed, just do what you can, keep it ticking along, and you'll be rewarded. Avoid letting a stakeholder change a test and slow things down too much. Keep momentum. So important to keep momentum, and show value, PR your program. Also, test to learn and you'll never lose. Think about moving on or iterating after a test finishes. Try to brainstorm new ideas. Log your test learnings. They're so useful. Months or years down the line, you can revisit them. They can strengthen over time if they keep getting proven, and the business gains massive value from this. And lastly, try the PQ framework. It will help guide you on this test to learn method and help steer you in the right direction. And for a bonus, of course, QA tests, you will find bugs. Do good QA. Use real devices if you can. And if you see data that surprises you, you're, whoa, that's interesting. Be careful, check that data, be skeptical, don't trust surprising data.
Thank you, Chris, for these fantastic insights about CRO and UX. Also, thank you, dear listener, for sticking with us throughout this episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and we're also keen to see how you implement the ideas shared by Chris. Share this episode with someone who might find it useful and check out the other interesting conversations that we've had with industry experts. Don't forget to hit the follow button so that you never miss out on any episode from VWO Podcast. That's all for this one. See you in the next episode. Until then, goodbye, take care, and always be testing.